From the campus of Stanford University, this is Schools In.
They believe that what we're being told is everything they need to know, and they just pay attention to that.
You actually have to teach the teachers how to teach for innovation.
With your hosts, Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope.
Welcome to Schools In. I'm Denise Pope, senior lecturer with the Graduate School of Education here at Stanford, and I am with my co-host, Dan Schwartz, who is the dean of the Graduate School of Education.
Hello, Denise Rattling Brain Pope.
Rattling Brain. This is a new one, Dan.
Yes.
Tell me why you call me Rattling Brain.
No, this is not what you're like as a person. This is not like saying you're scattered brain.
Okay,
This is because we're going to be talking about concussion.
Ah.
So it has thematic relevance. So.
Okay. All right. Have you had a concussion?
So I was thinking about this. I had an event where I should have had a concussion. So I had a snowmobile. This is like a snow machine, snow go. It goes, I rode it on the Yukon River. It freezes up. And it was a good one. So I was going 80 miles an hour.
Oh, my. Are you crazy?
And I hit a bump. And you know how you see those action movies where the person does like three flips over the car and lands on their feet? That's sort of what I thought I would always happen in this.
No.
Basically, all I remember is thinking which way was up. I landed about 100 feet away from the snow machine and the snowmobile with clothes scattered everywhere. It was like one of these Peanuts things. And I had cuts all over my face. And I don't think I had a concussion unless thinking to yourself, oh, I'm such an idiot, is the clue to being a concussion.
Were you wearing a helmet?
I was wearing a wool hat.
Okay, a wool hat does nothing. That does nothing.
In my first flip where my head got planted in the snow, it came off. So it wasn't going to do anything.
Okay, my point exactly. But wow, you got really lucky.
Or unlucky. I mean, it shouldn't have happened, you know.
Oh, my gosh. But no broken bones.
I was lucky. This is really fast.
Wow.
So how about you?
I have never, knock on wood, had a concussion. I know a lot of people who have.
How do they know?
I know kids from sporting events. So as a mom who goes to a lot of sporting events, in fact, what's really scary, so I was a mom, I am a mom of a diver. So diving board, right, that's you land the wrong way.
Oh, I've seen it in the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah, Greg Louganis. And what's really scary is at some meets, there's an ambulance parked outside, literally, before the meet starts. You know, what does this do to you as a mom? Luckily, no incidents in my family, but I have seen kids hit the board. My daughter's good friend had to stop out of college for a full semester because she hit the board as
a
diver.
Wow.
But it doesn't have to be sports. I mean, a lot of people talk about football and soccer with the header because, you know, soccer players don't wear helmets. But there's a kid who was in eighth grade with one of my kids who, you know how people lean back on chairs? Like, and the mom always says, like, don't lean back on the chair. Or the teacher, as a teacher, right? You always have kids in your classroom, like, don't lean back on the chair.
Yeah, that's like running with scissors.
Right. Okay, but literally this happened. The kid fell back, hit his head so badly, and he was out for a series of weeks.
Wow.
Because of a concussion. So what do you look for? I mean, it's a good thing we have the experts.
Those are extreme, right? I assume that they were seeing stars and maybe throwing up.
Well, so that's the thing. You know, as a parent, you're told look for some things, and I'm glad we have the experts on here to tell us what to actually look for and what they're doing about
right.
it. My hazy memory is, don't let them – if they're throwing up or if their eyes are dilated or if they just seem really out of it, but – that's my hazy memory of this.
Yeah, I have no idea whether my kid ever had a concussion.
Because you wouldn't have known.
He wouldn't tell me.
Why would he not tell you?
Right. That's why we're having the show, Denise.
Yes, I know. That was my segue. That was my great segue.
Beautiful. I just
thank you.
Sort of stepped in it.
Thank you. So let's introduce our experts. We are really lucky to have Pia Sarkar and Shelley Goldman. This is our first show with two guests at the same time, which is really exciting. Pia is a Graduate School of Education alumna here at Stanford, and she now lectures at the School of Education and heads a nonprofit organization called TeachAids. And we've had Shelley on the show before. You might recognize her. Welcome back. She's the Associate Dean for Faculty at the Graduate School of Education, and specifically for this program, she teaches with Pia in a curriculum development class. So welcome, Pia and Shelley.
Thank you. We're really happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
We're excited to have you. So first, you have to educate us, right? We need some facts about concussions. How many people get them? You know, would we know? What should we look for? Help us out.
So there's about 2.5 million people, more than that, that young people that suffer concussions every year. And one in five high school students get a concussion as well. One of the scary facts that Shelley and I always talk about is that more than one in three go back into the same game after getting concussed. And that's where they could really get hurt, because you can imagine if you have a broken arm and then you continue playing with that broken arm, how bad that could be. And it's similar to a concussion, that you're 3 to 5 times more likely to get another kind of injury. Whoa. If you've already been concussed.
Scary. Very scary. And what are the, what are folks looking for when they're checking people for concussions? What should parents be looking for?
Yeah, there's a whole list of symptoms that you guys were naming off, anything from nausea or blurry vision or headache is the number one thing that people look at. But the main issue is that when you're in doubt, you should go and see a doctor. There's a whole list of the different symptoms on the CDC website.
So I think you would have known if your kid had one.
No, because, look, I twisted my ankle. I'm going to keep playing. It hurts, but it'll be okay. I can't introspect on the threshold that says, oh, now I'm over the edge. I better go get help. My tendency is not to want to get help, you know. So,
right.
So I can see how it would happen, that people would get symptoms that aren't sort of haven't quite crossed the threshold to say something's in trouble.
Well, and maybe you can't figure that out for yourself. Right? Like you're so impaired that maybe you shouldn't be making that decision.
Well, the other thing is that a lot of this, in certain cases, the symptoms don't show up till up to 2 days later.
Uh-huh.
And so if you have any indication where you think that you might be hurt, or the other people that are around you think that you might be hurt, like you were saying, in your brain, you don't have pain receptors. So you are really not the best judge to be able to tell that you're injured. But what these kids tell us is that they see it in each other. So when they're out there playing the game, they see that the person doesn't have very much balance, or that they're running the wrong play all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So you're listening to their words, and you're also watching their actions. And if something doesn't feel right, you should definitely pull them out and talk to someone that you trust.
So, Shelley, how did you get involved with Pia? How did this pairing happen?
That's a historical question, because Pia and I have been working together since she started as a master's student at Stanford.
She was my advisor and still is my advisor.
Oh,
I was her
advisor. Nice.
It never changes.
It never changes. It's a lifelong advising relationship. And
nice.
So I've been involved with TJs, and I sit on their board before they started the Concussion Project. And I was delighted that this was what Pia decided to take on next after she had worked on AIDS education for many years.
Why?
And I think it's really important.
Why concussion? Of all the things in the world, why concussion?
It is affecting 1 out of every 5 teenagers. So it's very prevalent and very important and really overlooked in a lot of ways. And education has not been successful in getting high school kids to understand concussions or to think about reporting them. So there's definitely a need there.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are speaking with two guests today, Pia Sarkar and Shelley Goldman, talking about concussions and concussion education. So, all right, you guys, you decided to take on concussions. How did this come about?
You know, so after we did all this work in HIV education and expanded into 82 countries, we were looking for what that next topic would look like. And we have hundreds of volunteers around the country that really wanted to do something back home here. So we had our analysts, our researchers look at a variety of different topics, and we wanted to work on those wicked problems that had a solution, hopefully, that was associated with education. And so the three topics that came up were cybersecurity, sexual harassment, and concussions. And this was about a year and a half ago. And as we see, the other two, all three of the topics have actually exploded in terms of importance. As we started to talk to all these different education and medical experts about this, we were blown away by what they were saying, that there was just a huge gap in knowledge, that these kids have all this information that they want, the parents have, just like the kinds of questions that are coming up here, and that robust education was needed
to fill
the gaps.
This is really a tough educational problem. So seatbelts, if I don't wear my seatbelt, I kind of feel naked in the car. I don't know if you noticed that. But there, the cues are very strong. It occurs every time. It's the exact same thing. Concussions can be really variable. And so how do you teach people to take certain actions for very occasional events. This is a tough, tough problem. How'd you go after trying to figure out how to do this? Shelley?
I was going to say it's an occasional event, but it's a very big event. My son had a concussion. He fell off his skateboard. And he was in the hospital for 4 days, and then he was at home for another 10 days after that. And it really took him 6 months after that to be able to be in a room with bright lights or a room where there was some noise. So it's severe. It's when it happens, it's a real event. It's not something, well, you put your seatbelt on every time, but you only have a car accident once in a while and get to really feel the feedback of that,
right?
But how it saved your life.
But are you trying to teach people what to do after they get a concussion or what to do to prevent it?
Actually, we're trying to teach people what a concussion is, what the symptoms look like, what to do after you might have one, and how to act. Because research shows that if you have a concussion, you'll recover from it if you take the steps you need to take to recover. And that means, by the way, no time on computers for a week or two. So that's very hard for kids to think about doing. Right. So we're really trying to reinforce the messages that they need to hear so that they have an injury, they take care of it. Because if you take care of it, you're in good shape. If you don't take care of it, you're prone to a next more serious one with brain damage.
If you take care of it, is there no lasting damage? If you do it right?
We don't know that. But what we do know is that the majority of them recover, like that you're symptom-free within 7 to 10 days. And then you get checked out by the doctor to be able to go back into the game.
Okay. And then if you don't take care of it, because this one kid who fell off the chair, I mean, he was out for way more than 7 to 10 days.
Then you're more likely to get another injury. And that could be a different body injury because your balance is off or your eye tracking is off. Or also you could get another concussion, which could be significantly worse than the first one. So in that sense, it is prevention. We can't prevent the first one, but you can prevent these other injuries from taking place.
Shelley, did you want to add to
that?
Well,
I was going to say that we do know from looking at professional athletes that over the course of a lifetime or a career, you can accumulate enough injuries that you actually get permanent damage.
Right. That's what you see.
CTE.
CTE, right, which is different. Now, how much does a helmet help? Like I asked Dan, was he wearing a helmet? Would that have helped him? No.
So what we do know is that helmets do not prevent concussions.
Me. So there.
Okay.
We were going to. Shelley and I were looking at each other, and I think we were going to chime in when you guys were talking.
Okay, yeah, we were going to. We were like, I think this is really helpful for parents here. Okay, so helmet or no helmet?
So helmets are incredibly important, and we want to make sure to stress that point because you could get a skull fracture, you could get other kinds of injuries, but helmets do not prevent concussions.
Because a concussion is actually your brain shifting and having impact against the inside of your skull. So it's not an injury to your skull from the outside, which is what a helmet is protecting.
And it's shearing in different ways and twisting and turning. So that's why you could get a hit to your head or a hit to your body that could then make your brain, it jostles your brain inside your skull.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are talking today with Pia Sorkar and Shelley Goldman from the School of Education, talking about concussions, what they are, getting the information out to parents and kids and athletes and teachers about not just what they are and how to prevent them, but what to do after you get a concussion. So what happened in the class? How did this project come about then? Who wants to take that one?
You should talk about the class.
Okay, so we had a class, and the name of the class is The Design of Technology-Integrated K-12 Curriculum. And we were lucky enough to have a lot of football players register for this class, knowing that our topic would be concussion education. They're very committed, as are their coaches, to a healthy football team. And so we were able to work with 15 to 20 high school students who are athletes from an after-school program called LIMO Foundation in Redwood City. And so our students and students from that foundation were meeting on Saturdays, 4 Saturdays during the quarter, in order to kind of go through design thinking processes around the topics that would be taken up in the crash course curriculum and the different kinds of curriculum projects that were under development. And so we had students doing rapid prototyping, our students were doing empathy work with the high school students and then taking the insights they were getting from that right back into brainstorming and or feedback on the designs that were coming out of the Teach Aids team. And we spent a quarter doing various kinds of projects with the kids, having Saturday afternoons to work on them together, and then plying that stuff right back into the curriculum material.
What's an example of a project? Do you remember?
There's a segment of the Crash Course curriculum that's going to be a brain simulation fly through. And we had kids working on what they would like to see if they could get inside the human brain. And we had an afternoon where we ran them through a lot of design thinking activities to get them to brainstorm new and creative ideas for what that brain could look like. Many of them wanted it to be like the game Fortran, where you get dropped into the brain from up above,
Fortnite,
from a vehicle.
Fortnite.
Yeah. And they wanted it to be like that, Fortransit language. and they wanted it to be like that. And we had to kind of move them off that one idea into different kinds of ideas. And they were quite helpful in the kinds of metaphors that they could understand that could explain to them things in the brain. Like we were trying to see whether we could use a highway metaphor with broken roads and damaged roads, and if that would kind of work for them as kind of like a neural kind of explanation of concussions. And so they were very helpful in having us think creatively about how to do that and even how it would look from a visual perspective to be inside the brain.
And is there a final design that you now use here?
Yeah, actually. So the it's an interactive suite of different products, and we just launched the first product of that on September 8th at the USC Stanford game. It's incredibly exciting, the kind of support that we got throughout the university. The Graduate School of Education has been so incredible, and the athletics department and School of Medicine. But it's basically that particular piece is putting the kids in the middle of a football game at the beginning, and then the kid gets concussed and has to make a decision. Do they want to stay in the game or pull themselves out? And so it's taking all the lessons that we know they need to learn and embedding that in a narrative. And then outside of that, we're coming out with the brain fly-through that Shelley was talking about, the simulator, as well as other pieces.
So they put on the goggles and everything like that, and they feel like they're in the game.
Yes. The version that we launched right now is the HD version, and then the one that we're going to launch in January will be the virtual reality version, as you're describing.
But we were able to show kids the VR version and have their reactions to it and kind of see the difference. Like, what's the difference when they just watch a video of it or they're in the VR version of it? And it's quite stunning how attentive and physically reacting they are when they're in the VR version.
Well, especially when they get concussed.
Yeah, they feel the hit. They actually have a reaction. You see them jump in their seat while it's happening.
Wow.
Memorable. It's very memorable that way.
And we're excited to learn more. This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. And we will have more with Pia Sarkar and Shelley Goldman talking about concussions, concussion education, and their new Crash Course next on SiriusXM Insight 121. We translate the research we know about best practices with school, curriculum, and parenting to teachers, administrators, parents, and youth.
You're listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope from the campus of Stanford University.
Welcome back to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are talking about concussions and concussion education with Pia Sarkar and Shelley Goldman, who are both from the Graduate School of Education here at Stanford.
So, Pia and Shelley, you have made a decision on your instruction that actually goes to the kids. Like, that's what they did with sex ed. That, you know, for sex ed, the instruction wasn't for the teacher and the parents. It was for the kids. But I assume for concussions, it's always been for, like, the coaches. So why did you make that move to go to the players or non-players?
So at the end of the day, it's these kids that aren't reporting. The majority of them are not reporting, and their friends see that they're not reporting. It's a silent injury, invisible injury. And again, when we're talking about one out of every three go back, they make that decision to go back into that same game. So a lot of times the parents don't see it. The coaches are looking at so many different things. Everyone's trying their best. And like you said, most of the materials that have been created for those other groups that are around the ecosystem of the kid. But being able to create something that really resonates with the kid, that speaks to them, was incredibly important. From the very beginning, what they were telling us is that PDFs just don't work for us. We don't want talking heads. We do not want doctors. This came up in the class so many times.
Nobody wants that in any situation.
No doctors, no parents, no coaches. Huh. What they wanted was to be able to hear from someone that was a near peer source. So someone that wasn't viewed as a disciplinarian. And ideally, someone who was relatable and had overcome those similar kinds of challenges. And that's why we've got all these football players from Stanford. Four of the six captains are in it, including Bryce Love. So these kids start watching their role model start to talk to them, and their eyes just light up because they say, you know what it feels like to be me because you were just me. And we believe you and we trust you.
So this is before or after they do that virtual reality or watch the crash? Is this, you educate them before, you educate them right after? When does that component come in with Bryce Love and the stars talking to them?
It's a great question. So the initial part starts off in a high school football game, like a Friday Night Lights game.
Okay.
And then they get injured and then they go to the doctor's office. And it's at that moment that they're kind of listening to the doctor, trying to also figure out what's happening in their life, that Bryce Love automatically, he just shows up there. And then he says, I know what it feels like. I've been in your shoes. Let's talk about this. And he snaps. And all of a sudden, they're on the Stanford football field. And they start learning about the different lessons that they need to know.
So what my kid is too late for this, but I still worry about him. So now he's learned to recognize a concussion. What does he do? Tell your coach, tell your parents, call the doctor on your own. What's the move? Tell your friends.
You know, I think for each kid, it's different. We just tell them to talk to someone that they trust, and it could be a coach, it could be a parent, but the main thing is to seek treatment to make sure that you can get better. Because again, the majority of them heal within 7 to 10 days. We want them to get better, and we want them to go back and start doing whatever it is that they love. The last thing we want is that they continue getting injured because they don't have the facts.
So Denise, do you ever remember an occasion where your child said to you, I'd like to go to the doctor?
That would be no.
How about you, Shelley?
No. And, you know, I think concussions are a really silent personal injury. And so you get a lot of people not being able to recognize that they have one and also not wanting to disappoint their parents, their coaches, and their teammates by sitting out a game when nobody can see anything wrong with them.
Right.
So it's kind of like a shameful kind of reaction that kids have to having a concussion. And they may know things are not right. And this is where I think you need your parents, your community, your teammates to be looking out for each other.
Because you look like a wimp, right? I mean, I think that point really hit home, Shelley, that when you see someone with a broken arm leave the football field or leave the diving meet, you could see it. But you, in a kid's head, I could see this where they think, God, am I a wimp? Because
I don't think this is the psychology of it. The psychology of it is that I want to keep playing.
Exactly.
No, for sure they want to keep playing, for sure. But if you go out, so what, you're the star person on the team, but this just happened with Bryce.
I never had that experience of being the star person on the team.
No, but this does happen when the star player gets hurt. There's a lot of pressure from a lot of people to just put a little shot in the ankle and go back on. You can't do that with the head.
So this is an incredible discussion. And the reason is that we ask the kids about this. What would make you go back in? And the idea behind the entire curriculum is to use their motivations to go back in. So the first thing is Dan hit it right on the head. And you did too. So we'll come back to
both. It's a tie.
Most kids want to keep playing. They absolutely want to keep playing. So when we can demonstrate to them, if you want to keep playing and you want to play for a long time, that this short-term pulling yourself out will actually let you play throughout the season, right? So you're taking yourself out for one game, but if you don't, then you could lose the entire season. And then to Denise's point, they do want to be able to demonstrate that they're playing at their best. They want to look great when they're out there for their girlfriends, their boyfriends, and their parents. And when they know that when they they are concussed, that they're not seeing things correctly, they're not balanced correctly, that they don't look good when they're out there. That's something that motivates them to want to come out and be able to take care of themselves.
This is Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. We are talking with Pia Sorkar and Shelley Goldman about concussions and about a really cool program to educate students about concussions before it happens, and so they know what to do when it happens. So here's a question for you. I am a kid and I see someone who I think is concussed. It's not me. How do you get that person to be, like in bullying education, you talk about bystanders and upstanders, and you got to do something. So now you're kind of in a role of narking on a friend.
We actually have a message inside the crash course that is specifically for that purpose. And the Stanford players say a cheer when they go out on the field. Before they go on the field, it's like, who's got my back? And it's like, we've got your back. We've got your back. And that whole atmosphere of the team and people having each other's backs is really important. And I think a big message in Crash Course is that you got to look out for the next person. You got to look out for your friend who's next to you playing with you.
So a slightly different question. Yeah. So you're not trying to prevent the first concussion. So your evidence of effectiveness won't be a reduction in concussions. It'll be more people going to the doctor's office. Is that how you'll find out that you've succeeded?
So it's a few different things. So yeah, we're running the impact studies to see changes in knowledge, changes in attitudes, and changes in behaviors. In schools, a lot of times it'll be reporting to the coaches. It'll be reporting to the trainers. So it'll be looking at a variety of different things. But this is exactly the reason why we're working with these experts to figure out what the best way is to assess this.
So I'm a parent. My kid comes home and says, Dad, because he's a big football player now. Dad, I think I've been...
I like the way the kid sounds. Yeah,
Dad, I think I've been concussed. Oh, my God, son, what should I do? So do I get the ambulance and take him to the hospital? Do I go to urgent care? Do I put a cold compress on their head and say, I'll call for an appointment and the doctor will see us in 3 weeks? What should I do?
Good questions, Dan. Good questions.
I do think you don't want to wait 3 weeks. I do think you might want to either get an appointment in the next day or two or go to urgent care. And their doctors are ready for this, and they are really good at running through the protocol and being able to examine a kid and say whether there's a concussion or not.
But it's not like a stroke or a heart attack where you have to get in right away to prevent further damage. This is not that kind of thing.
I think it depends. I mean, if your kid looks like he's not well, for whatever reason, and you don't feel right about it, you should take your kid.
I certainly wouldn't let my kid get back on a bicycle if they got a concussion through bike riding or get back in a game or a practice until they saw a professional.
Right. And I think as a mom, sometimes I worry that I don't want to be that mom who takes the kid to the doctor when it's really nothing. And I think what I'm hearing is err on the side of caution. Even if it might be nothing and the kid looks perfectly fine, no doctor is going to make fun of me for saying, can you just do the check or whatever you do? What is it that they do, by the way, a day or two after the thing happens?
So once they talk to the kid, then they'll determine what it is they need to do for that particular kid, because every concussion is different. But they'll run through a set of questions. They'll do eye tracking and they'll do balance tests and things like that. But the main thing is that they'll give that kid a plan to be able to come back better and stronger. So one of the myths is around exercise. So a lot of kids or parents don't want their kids to exercise. They just tell them to rest in a dark room. But we know that early exercise actually helps the kids come back faster. It's without contact for a while until they get back. So going and speaking to your doctor, they can come up with that individualized plan for that kid.
So Dan, it seems like the message is pretty clear. Even if you were wearing a helmet, you probably should have taken yourself to the doctor after that snow accident.
I would have looked in the mirror and shined a light in my eye and see. I'd self-diagnose.
You would play your own doctor. Well, we so appreciate all the information that we got today. We are lucky that there are people like you working out there to make lives better and healthier for kids. I wish you the best of luck with your program. So thank you, Pia. Thank you, Shelley. And thank all of you for listening to Schools In with Dan Schwartz and Denise Pope. If you missed any of this episode, listen anytime on demand with the SiriusXM app on iTunes and on SoundCloud.